That Great Business Show, Ireland's best business podcast.
Welcome to episode 152 of That Great Business Show, where we bring you more great tips, insights, and unique business opportunities on every episode, all perfectly packaged into a commute-friendly podcast with thanks to DoneDeal.ie. I'm Conal Moran, Fuentes-Steach. On this episode, fabulous opportunities await your business in the Arab world. We'll tell you what they are and how to get hold of them. And on episode 150, Caroline Buckell of Bordias Giwara told us about some incredible Irish companies in the broad marine sector. So we had to have them join Team GBS. One of them uses the seawater surrounding our little island to make a truly unique business. And we'll have more about that coming up. All our tips and insights are brought to you thanks to Dundeal Motors, the place to look for your new or previously loved car, van or truck. Dundeal.ie.
Dundeal Motors is home to Ireland's largest range of new and premium used cars. That's why you'll find cars from Audi and BMW dealerships on Dundeal. Are you looking for a seven-seater to accommodate your growing family? Maybe you're after a luxury saloon to make a statement. We have the car for you. You'll also find Ireland's largest range of electric cars to help you make the switch. Visit Dundeal.ie today to start the search for your next car.
Travel to Connecticut, USA with Aer Lingus service to Bradley International Airport. With the daily flights from Dublin to Hartford, we make business travel to Connecticut easy. Save time with US pre-clearance, enjoy Aer Lingus award-winning flight service, and experience the convenience of Bradley International Airport, perfectly situated for your travel needs. Learn more and plan your next business trip at aerlingus.com.
Many of you in business will know Enda Corneille, a man who spent 26 years working with Aer Lingus, followed by 8 years as country head in Ireland for Emirates. Nowadays, Enda wears a number of other consultancy hats, but we have asked him to join Team GBS to highlight the business opportunities across the Arab world for Irish businesses, as Enda also happens to be chair of the Arab-Irish Chamber of Commerce. Ireland is already shipping goods to the value of 3 billion euro to those states, but there's plenty more to go. So what else would they like from us, and what have they got to offer us? Trade is a two-way thing, after all. Enda Corneille, welcome to That Great Business Show.
Thank you very much, Conal.
You have worn many hats. You know a lot about business. Why did you choose to become chair of the Arab-Irish Chamber of Commerce?
Well, I suppose it came about during my time with Emirates as country head, which gave me unique insight into working with, you know, the Arab world, in that case, the United Arab Emirates. So I joined the board of the chamber, and then four years ago, I was appointed chairman. And it's a fascinating business. Like, the chamber operates a one-stop shop for Irish exporters doing business in the Arab world, dealing with 21 different countries. And what's unique about the Arab world is that each country has their own rules and regulations around invoicing, legalization of documents, all of this. So the chamber actually acts as a one-stop shop, helping Irish exporters deal with all these complexities so that they can continue to do business and ship their goods to the 21 Arab states.
And you're lovely people. Do you do it all for love of and not for any money? Or do you do it all for free?
No, it's a business.
It's a business.
But I think what the chamber adds to the commercial transactions is the value of understanding the detail, the knowledge, and taking the fear out of it for the Irish exporters, so it actually smooths their path.
And I did see, yes, we're big in butter, yes, we're big in cheese, and yes, we're big in chocolate, but what else are we big in the Arab world?
We're very big in pharmaceuticals.
Well, I presume that's the Americans here shipping to the Arab world, is it?
Absolutely, okay. Yeah. But it's also Irish products like Voya Healthcare in Sligo. Their moisturizers are made from seaweed off the beach, and they're exported. Kyo's crisps.
I can see you use it.
Kyo's crisps.
Are they going
eggs
out there? Yeah,
they're going out there. Potatoes going out there. The crisps are going out there. I learned all this during my time at Emirates. You just never know what's under the floor of the aircraft
because it is shipped via aircraft.
Absolutely,
not by ship. No,
no. It depends really on the product. If something is time sensitive, pharmaceuticals, for
crisps.
Example. Absolutely.
Got to get them now.
Pharmaceuticals tend to go in refrigerated containers and all of that.
And they're also high value, of course.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like pharmaceuticals are the business class of cargo.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's small packages, high value.
So what we want from you, Enda, please, tell us who what should be exporting to the Arab world. And the Arab world, let's talk about that, because we're not just talking about the Middle East. It's actually much broader than that.
Absolutely. Like, it's 21 countries. So it does include what are called the GCC, the Gulf States, which we would know as Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Oman, etc. But then you add in Morocco, Algeria, Turkey as well.
Turkey is huge. Turkey is very, very wealthy as well.
Absolutely. In Istanbul, where I was recently training, 20 million population in one city. So huge, huge opportunity. And I suppose that's what it is. Like the Arab world, they want to import what Ireland want to export. You know, Ireland, we eat 10% of what we produce food-wise. And that's, you know, that's something that they need. They've got a population as a whole of about 460 million people.
That's not bad. That's almost the same as the EU, really. Yeah,
it absolutely is. And yeah, it's growing as well. They also have significant resources to you know, to pay for these imports. So they're in that kind of business. And I think Ireland has a huge reputation across a whole range of products that is very strong and is attractive to the Arab world. So they're the kind of the drivers, if you like. And, you know, there's been a lot of relationships from a lot of companies over many years in all these countries. And that's the key. It's being able to build trust, being able to do business for a long period. You know, anyone wanting to do business with the Arab world and thinks it's a quick fix, it's one call or it's one meeting. It's not. You need to spend time there. You need to develop trust, develop relations. There's a lot of similarities between Arabs and Irish people, like love of family, very convivial. But you really have to spend the time, do your research, learn from others who've done well, and do, you know, understand, what am I getting myself into? The rewards are huge, but not unless you do the right sort of research beforehand.
And I can hear the questions. They're saying, how long is long? How long, like, if there's, say, a short 500 million people out there with plenty of moolah, how quickly can I start exporting?
Jonathan Hackett, it runs a brilliant company called Botany Weaving from the Liberties. And they supply all the seat covers and the carpets on all Emirates aircraft. And he will tell you a story that despite, you know, call after call after call, out of the blue one day, he got a call. 12 people on the line in the one conference room from Dubai. When can you start? So it was 4 or 5 years of constant pushing.
Oh, wow.
But then suddenly, you know, can you deliver this? And suddenly we're up. So, you know, once the decision is taken and the trust has been generated sufficiently, you're in. And it's big business. These are huge populations.
That's not a bad contract. So those are products. So what are the products do they want? Because we'll get on to services as well, because, of course, we've been exporting engineering services for decades, really, haven't we? But let's just stick with products. People listening, they heard Kyo's Crisps, and there are a lot of food businesses who might not be as big as Kyo's yet, but I remember Kyo's starting off and they were teeny once upon a time. So who should be looking at those states with a view to food exports?
Anyone that can, I suppose, provide security of product. Like if you want to go into this business and, you know, an order is put through for 1 million units, or in Kyo's case with Emirates, you know, 1 million packets of crisps a year.
That's what I thought. I saw them being put on board Emirates.
Right. So you've got to be able to deliver that.
Did he say thanks to you?
He did. Tom did. Tom did. But like, you need to be able to sort of, you know, if you're going to go for it, you need to be able to go for it. But really, I mean, it could be major products. You go through the supermarket shelves of any of the big supermarkets, Carrefour, Spinneys in Qatar, Dubai, you'll see Kerrygold, you know, you'll see Jameson, you'll see Bailey's, but you'll also see artisan Irish products. And Kyo's is a good example. I mentioned Voya Healthcare. So it doesn't necessarily have to be just, you know, one of the big companies, the big dairies, the big producers. They're looking for unique products that they can sell on to the market.
And doing business in the Arab states and in the Arab world, is it a man-only thing, or is there, if women-led businesses, because we are obviously huge champions of women-led businesses, are they ready, free to go?
Absolutely. I think even in the time I've spent dealing with this area of the world, about 8-9 years, I've seen a change. Far more business leaders being female, far more executives rising to senior positions in large Arab-based companies, whether they be engineering, airlines or whatever. So there's definitely a change. And that's positive. And I think that gives encouragement and inspiration to others coming up the ladder. So I definitely see a change.
And what about services, since we might go back to products in a second, but services we have been doing for, as I mentioned, a long time. Is that the same thing in terms of the lead-in to getting your first contract?
Oh, absolutely. It counts for whether it's a packet of crisps or an engineering product. If you look at the ESB International, they've been working certainly in the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, for many, many years. Huge numbers of Irish companies working on irrigation products, or irrigation projects, I should say, to enable farming in quite, you know, a rough climate. So that's been going on for many, many years. And now we see, you know, Niall Gibbons moving from Tourism Ireland to NEOM and bringing his expertise in tourism. We see Six Flags opening up new facilities in Qiddiya, which is the new tourism centre outside Jeddah in Saudi Arabia. So that sort of tourism piece is creeping in now as well. And all of those represent opportunities for Irish developers, Irish business people to get involved.
And when you're talking tourism, are you talking about tourists from the Arab countries coming here, or we providing services there, or what are you thinking?
No, I mean, Saudi Arabia now have announced a $3 trillion project.
They don't do things in billions.
To build a center of tourism just outside Jeddah called Qiddiya. And they are building hotels, they're building attractions and all of that. And Niall is actually working on generating. So it's inbound tourism for them and setting themselves up as a tourist destination. For the Irish business person, it's, you know, how can I get a part of that?
Exactly. And how can they get a part of it?
In construction. And it's really, it's doing research. It's linking up with companies in the region that are actually working on that and beginning to develop those relationships.
And the piggyback works, does it?
Absolutely. Like, you've got Irish agencies like Foreign Affairs, like Enterprise Ireland, Board B on the ground in these countries. And Enterprise Ireland in particular are, you know, have that helping hand to lead the Irish, to make the introductions, to help the exporter make those connections. But then it's up to them to actually develop those relationships, gain that trust, gain the business. The Enterprise Ireland people can open the door.
And I often mention on the podcast that the Department of Foreign Affairs is the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade. And they are very, very useful in the use of their embassies, because a lot of people are very impressed to be asked to go to the Irish embassy, wherever it may be. And the ambassadors are brilliant people as well.
Absolutely. And you asked me a question a moment ago about, you know, women doing business. And the number of Irish ambassadors now that are female is growing. We have a new ambassador in the UAE, Alison Milton. And, you know, they're bringing a new expertise to it as well. So it's a great time now for Irish exporters to consider exporting into this area, into this region. And there's a lot of help out there. I mean, the Chamber, we run events every year to really bring speakers from the Arab world into Dublin, Irish success stories. So people looking to export into the region can learn from those who've gone before, learn maybe the pitfalls, learn the advantages, the tricks, the techniques, what to do. And alongside the airlines, alongside Enterprise Ireland, Board B and Foreign Affairs, there's plenty of help there. And certainly since Brexit, Irish exporters have been looking, you know, to where they're going to go next. And I think this is a fantastic opportunity. Huge market, growing market, lots of resources.
You're allowed to give a big shout out for, or even an ad for the Chamber of Commerce. How much does it cost to join, and what do you get? What's on the menu of for the membership?
It's an unusual situation that our membership fee is about €200. So it's not about membership fees. It's about, I suppose, a couple of things. Facilitating business is the main thing, but also putting members with other members. And we've seen a lot of, you know, collaborative work between member companies of the Chamber. But it's really, I suppose, companies that are exporting coming to the Chamber and saying, I've got 15 pallets of crisps, let's go back to that, or I've got whatever I've got. I'm going to Oman, I'm going to Saudi Arabia and Morocco. Help me with the paperwork. Make it easy for me. And that's what the Chamber do.
What about language? Because there is presumably a language per country at a minimum. And should you get the basics of a hello and how are you, konstatatu type of thing?
I've lived in many countries and I've never gone further than hello, how are you? But you know what? That really means something. And yes, absolutely. The thing is, not only do you have 21 languages, you probably have dialects within those countries and all of that. So anything, I mean, I suppose it's an awareness of that cultural dimension. It's not all about the business. It's understanding that when you go to an Arab home, you bring a gift, you meet a business contact, you give a gift, you don't forget birthdays. Like, there's cultural nuances that the Irish exporters or potential Irish exporters have to be aware of. But being able to say hello, Inshallah, please God, you know, little things like that. Someone will look up real quick and they say, oh, there's somebody that's actually done a bit of thinking about this. And it all goes towards building that trust.
And speaking of having done a bit of thinking, you've been, your 8 years with Emirates and a long time since then, you've been hanging around the wider Arab world for quite a while. And you might have just seen little opportunities. You said, if only somebody could supply that or that service or that product. Any little gems that you've thought of that just say, yeah, that's a good one?
One of the things I noticed in my travels through the Arab world is the dessert trolleys are always the place to go. If you're in a buffet in a hotel, or you're like, dessert and sweets and cakes are the downfall. But what that has brought is the highest degree of diabetes in the world, in the Arab world. And I think there are huge opportunities that, you know, Royal College of Surgeons are already in that space. But that medical, that pharmaceutical side of things is certainly something that is being looked at, is being supplied into, but certainly, sadly, represents an opportunity.
I shouldn't laugh, but you know what I was thinking? I thought you were going to tell me that anybody who makes desserts should be focusing on them. What you're actually telling me is, if you're trying to fix diabetes, I had met with a lovely guy called Barry Regan, and he's the guy who's bringing the 1,500 jobs to Athenry. And what they're doing, it's a US company, but it'll be based in Athenry, and he's sticking a patch onto diabetics, 5 million of them at the moment, 495 million to go, he told me. And that will monitor diabetes in a massive way in terms of taking care of people. So yeah, Maybe he should be focusing. I'm sure he's already focused on that anyway.
Well, there's a humanitarian urgency there in the region. For all its wealth and its affluence, there's an issue there. And that's something that, you know, it's an opportunity at the same time of business.
And you mentioned, and I was kind of surprised, that Jameson is on the shelves in the supermarkets. Alcohol, is that not verboten?
There are, I suppose, different states have different levels of abiding by the law. There are some that are stronger than others. I was in Turkey recently, very different than going through Riyadh, you know, in terms of everything. I mean, it's a product. There is a huge expat population in these countries as well. I mean, I remember, again, with Emirates, we shipped one Christmas 100 cases of Jameson to Dubai. I didn't know who the customer was, but again, it was business. So the demand is there. And I suppose that's another point. Research. We might assume our product may not be suitable or attractive, but some research might tell you the opposite, and therefore you can pursue it.
And if one was looking for that research, can I go to the chamber again? Do you have kind of the background stuff?
Absolutely. I mean, we've carried out studies every couple of years. We produce documentation on every single country, the 21 countries. You know, there's a guide, all the things to know, the stats, up-and-coming products, up-and-coming markets, populations, it's all there. It really is a one-stop shop.
I don't know whether you ever carried an Irish Meath product actually called Cool Swan on Emirates. Does that ring a bell?
Oh, I like that product.
Well, the woman who makes that is Mary Sadler. And Mary Sadler is a huge supporter of the podcast. And I'm just thinking, Mary, if she isn't already in those markets, it's made for her, I would imagine.
Dubai Duty Free should have Cool Swan on its shelves if it doesn't already.
If it doesn't already. But also every home should have one as well. Of course, all 460 million people there, less the kids, of course. So those are the opportunities. Anything that they or we should be importing from them?
It's very much one way at the moment.
That's not fair. But we take their oil.
But one of the horses and the horse racing industry is a huge part. I mean, some of the biggest landowners in Leinster are from Dubai and the Arab world in terms of moving their horses. So they would have their horses in the Middle East. Mm. They would then bring the young foals into Ireland for the grass to build up their bones. Then they moved them on to Kentucky or to Suffolk. So the horse racing industry and the horse breeding industry is enormous, and its epicenter is the Arab world.
And I presume allied trades, could you, you know, say selling horse blankets and making this stuff up, is, I don't know.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
All that kind of stuff,
and
the opportunities
and
there.
Feed and medicine and veterinary work and all of that. It all falls off that. So, yes, absolutely.
So, anybody who wants to tip into the almost 500 million people across the Arab world, the broad Arab world, which stretches from North Africa right up into the Middle East and other places, can get involved with the Arab-Irish Chamber of Commerce. 200 quid. It's steal, isn't it?
It is. And as I said, most membership outfits, if you like, organizations make their money from the membership. We don't. We just have a nominal fee. It's about really getting in and doing business. It's all about doing business.
There's one final question that you have to answer. And I know, because I've just asked you, have you read your email? And you have. Ender Corneille, chairman of the Arab-Irish Chamber of Commerce. Who would you hire in a heartbeat?
I'd hire Roy Keane. And the reason I'd hire Roy Keane is that when he's a pundit and his fellow pundits comment on how well a defender has played, his first reaction is always, but can you do me a favour? That was his job. I think he'd get things done for me because he'd know that people had their jobs to do.
I do like that kind of straightforward attitude as well, yeah. Like, no nonsense.
Exactly, exactly.
And he's articulate.
He is.
And he's analytical. And
he's from Cork.
Well, that helps, yeah. So Roy Keane, I know you're hanging around doing nothing these days. He's hired. I think we'll take him on. Ender Corneille, thank you so much for joining us on That Great Business Show.
Thanks, Cuddle.
That Great Business Show.
De Facto, the revolutionary shaving oil, changing the face of shaving. For the smoothest shave of your life, just add water. No more lathering up or cleaning up afterward. Just add a few drops of water and you're ready to go. De Facto's blend of all natural oils hydrates and protects your skin. No more razor burns or irritation. A spa treatment for your face. Perfect for all skin types and lasts so much longer than traditional foams or gels. De Facto, a shaving revolution. Just add water. Available from selected pharmacies and from defactoshave.com.
Travel to Connecticut, USA with Aer Lingus service to Bradley International Airport. With the daily flights from Dublin to Hartford, we make business travel to Connecticut easy. Save time with US pre-clearance, enjoy Aer Lingus award-winning flight service, and experience the convenience of Bradley International Airport, perfectly situated for your travel needs. Learn more and plan your next business trip at aerlingus.com.
All That Great Business Show advertisers are Team GBS approved. Back them.
As I mentioned, we have had a great reaction to the interview on episode 150 with the Bord Yuskivara boss, that's Caroline Bokel. Caroline name-checked several companies doing incredible things in the broad marine sector, and we threw our recording studio door open to them to join us on That Great Business Show. The first business to take up our offer is Oriel Marine Extracts, a fascinating company based in Louth. They go to the bottom of the Irish Sea, a bit cold, to find nutrients used in skincare products, medicine and nutrition, amongst many other uses. And Brian Fitzpatrick is co-founder and CEO of Oriel Marine Extracts. Welcome to That Great Business Show, Brian.
Thanks very much, Conal.
As they say, where did it all start?
Yeah, wow. It's a story.
It is a story. You've just been telling me.
I suppose my co-founder, John Delaney, found me. And
not that John Delaney.
No, not that John Delaney. And he even spelled his name differently as well. But he found me, and the original idea was a sea salt company, and it was like, okay, and I was at a time where I'd lost an awful lot and was going, you know what, I need something to distract me. So I wrote a business plan. John entered it into the All-Ireland Seed Corn Competition. We runners up won a pile of money and went, right, we have
I've
money to go.
I've got to stop you there and remind people that seed corn company is run by InvestNI, am I right?
Yeah.
And I think there's a quarter of a million euro or pounds or something.
Yeah. Up as the top prize.
A lot of money.
We didn't get the top prize, but we got the second. See, we're there.
Good.
I
didn't know this, but please continue.
And, so that gave us a few bob to start and get going. And we traveled around the world. We visited lots of different places. Ended up in Far East in Japan. Met this guy. End of story, we decided, you know, to invest in this and create a product. And initially it was for sea salt. And we developed sea salt. And we were doing sea salt different to everyone else. So instead of everyone else harvested above water and open in hot water, we harvest the sea salt below water. So
why?
So because it retains all its natural minerals. It's much more powerful and intense. So in doing that, as part of the process, we had this waste sort of byproduct, which is like the brine that they get in RO plants. It's similar to that. And we decided, you know, this could be interesting. So we went to DCU and we says, look, we think this could be really interesting, and gave it to Dr. Ronan Murphy in there. And he went off, came back and said, right, this is incredible what this is doing. He says, I just threw everything at it, see what would come back. But he says, this is impacting platelets, inflammation, and all sorts. And we went, okay. So that began our journey into science.
Well, let me roll it back a wee bit there, because how come that you ended up in salt and being able to do all of this? Because you could have gone into bicycles, you could have gone into grass cutting, could have gone into anything.
Well, it was originally John's idea. John came to me and says, I have this idea. He'd been involved in the meat business, and he says, I think we could find something to cure meat better than the crap salts that are out there. And I think we could do a sea salt company. And I thought, yeah, okay. I didn't think it was a scalable that we could make a really good living out of this. So I've done the study, and I end up finding there's other things in the water. But we needed to get the money in to build the plant, to find out what they were and to see how they would be. So once we got to that point and said, right, here's the other stuff, then we needed science to underpin it. So, but by that stage, we had actually patented the system because it was totally new. This was a brand custom built system. No one else had it in the world. So we had large patents for that. So they're all granted now across the world.
That's a very expensive business.
Yes, it was. And we've been very lucky to have some good people supporting us to do all this.
Does that mean good state companies or good investors?
No, good private investors.
Okay.
Really good private investors, and who've been great. So, you know, that has allowed us to, it's been a long road, you know, like we went from being a sea salt company to a life science company. So the turnaround on that in terms of how long it takes to be successful in life science is way different to sea salt. So, I mean, our sea salt has continued to sell all the way, but we really needed to understand these minerals.
And where are you selling your salt now? For anybody who's listening who wants your salt.
Our salt, we sell it online on our...
Oriel.
Well, it's www.magnesiumstore.com. So we sell it there. We sell it in some retail places out. But to be honest, our problem is that because all other sea salts are flakes and crystals, right, which you grind or do whatever. So they're really finishing salts. Our salt is like, it's like powder. It's like dust.
10 years ago, would you have even used the word, it's a finishing salt? No. Okay.
This is all learning.
Learning, exactly.
But we realised, we'd done a thing with Bord Beer, a food works thing with Bord Beer, and Bord Beer ended up saying to us, this is not a retail product. This is an ingredient product because it's soft. It just dissolves instantly. So our clients are like, you know, some of the best food companies in the country, some of the best restaurants in the country. So it's you know, it's food service and food manufacturers. That's where 99% of our salt goes.
Okay, so that's the salt end.
Yeah.
But that's, I'm hearing from you, is being relegated. I won't say it's being dumped, but it's relegated because you're onto something huge.
Yeah, our focus really, we had to decide where do we focus our resources? Because, you know, we're a small business. There's only 8 of us in total. And
at the moment.
At the moment, yeah. Okay. And we sort of said, right, we got to focus our resources. And the salt just is doing its own thing, which is great because we're with some great companies. And we decided, right, let's you know, the research on the minerals was coming through. So over the last 2 or 3 years, it's been coming out and going into really great skincare brands and like Neal's Yard and some of these great brands in America now, where
and
they can use it.
How are you finding them, or how are they finding you?
We've been doing international trade shows mostly, just, you know, jumping Hawking. Out there and doing it and trying to find what do we do, you know, And really what we've been up until the last sort of year or so is we've been the product inside lots of other people's products that help them be great. And a lot of time people don't want to call out your name. They don't want to, they want it to be their little secret ingredient or whatever.
Do you remember
whatever,
the ads
know?
That Intel ran? Intel Inside?
Yeah.
Because nobody really knew or cared.
Yeah.
But they
wanted
everybody to know that Intel was good.
Yeah. And so we sort of, through COVID, we had our own website selling. We had set up, it's called the magnesiumstore.com. We had, you know, we were selling our products now, and the packaging was very sad. Like, it was just really sad, you know. And but we didn't know that. We thought it was great, you know what I mean? So, and we decided, you know what, we'll do Bloom, right? So we done Bloom, and Bloom was off. We had all this stuff on Bloom, and the one word we had above was magnesium. And Bloom was off the charts. It was just, I mean, it was like a flood of people, mainly women over the age of sort of 40 plus, who were coming saying, I heard magnesium's great for this. I heard magnesium's great for that. And we went, yeah, it is. Well, what's different about this? Well, this is different because you just put this few drops in your water and drink it. You've no tablets, no nothing like that. Powders.
Tell me, what is it? We're not allowed to say the word cure, but what does it cure? Or what does it fix?
Well, it's,
what does
it's, it... where we focused, what we're doing is sleep, first of all. The sleep, you know, the things that happen in sleep are people just can't sleep because their mind runs at 50 million miles a minute, or they're waking up with cramps, or depending on. And magnesium actually plays a really important role in all them. So magnesium's in every cell in your body, every blood platelet in your body needs magnesium. So as we become, we can't make it. So we have to get it from somewhere. We used to get it from our food. You know, when we were growing up as kids, there was a decent amount of magnesium in our food, but not anymore. And it used to be in our water, but not, it's not in our municipal water anymore. So a lot of people now need supplementation. And the problem with a lot of it is you know, to get some of the tablets are like bullets. And so, you know, having something that's that little bit different meant when we went to health food stores and said, look, this is something different. It's drops, just a few drops in water. And we'd give them a sample and say, look, just try it out, or give it to someone you know and try it out. And, you know, within 6 months, and with just one guy on the road, my brother Colm, we're in about 120 stores now, you know, and he's just on his own, tipping around them and building it up and getting most of the groups on board as well. So it's been, and it's just that because it's a bit different, it allows the people in the store to think about it differently, that you can actually, it's the only product, it's the only mineral in the world that's actually sublingual. So you can actually put it under your tongue. It's a bit strong now. So we say, put it in a drop of water first, but it doesn't have to go through your digestive system. So it just gives a little different angle, you know, to what it's for.
So that's ad number one for the magnesium. Keep going.
It is indeed.
There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 boxes.
Well, menopause is all about inflammation. And magnesium is recognized as being anti-inflammatory. We've now 7 years science. We're published in medical journals. We're published in skincare journals, nutritional journals, which...
What you said now, you're not writing that. You are being written about.
About by scientists who have studied our product and put it out there and published it. So it gives us, it's great for us when we go to clients and we say, look, you know, this is what it does. And it's been a great learning curve for us, you know. So in that space, they're great. We do a rebalance because a lot of people just, you know, they feel they need something for fatigue, energy. And this was, and sports, people in sports just know how important magnesium is. It's one of the big ones that they need. So they were the ones we started with. The next one to come online will be actually CAN. It's sort of one for anxiety.
And this is all magnesium. So it's like, is it different formulations, or could you take one for cure-all?
At the moment, it's they're different batches. But really, it's the same product. But if I go and talk to the guy who's, you know, doing a workout, whatever, he doesn't really want to talk to me about his hot flushes, you know, and he can't sleep. So you sort of had to create from a market that, look, targeted to people. When someone comes in and says, I have an issue with sleep, they want to see something that will help them sleep.
Yeah. Okay.
And so that was the marketing behind it. But we are actually now, we're launching in the USA on Amazon and then in the Middle East on Noon. And we are looking at actually putting an extra ingredient into some of these, you know, having one, let's say maybe the rebalance as the standalone, and then just add one single thing into these for a point of difference and something that will enhance it as well. So we are looking at that. And then we do the gels. The gels are more for things like muscle pain, joint pain, stuff like that.
All of this comes from the bottom of the ocean offshore. Louth.
In County Louth, yeah, up in Clotterhead.
Yeah.
And it's gas. I mean, we actually went round the whole island of Ireland, and we got samples of water from the Mediterranean, the Pacific, from the Japan Sea. We got samples from everywhere, right? And had them analysed. And the one that came out on top was right here, right, in County Louth. And we didn't fully understand it.
What? For cleanliness or for?
Yeah, for, it's called bricks, for density, right? And there was we didn't realise, but on the pier in Clotterhead is a plaque from the Irish government, which basically says this is the point of impact of the collision of the continents of America and Eurasia 400 million years ago. They collided, and when you look on it, it's the only place in the world that they've, a BBC done a story on, that they've actually found fossils from the two continents on the one headland. And there's actually, you can see still see shards which were once as high as the Alps. You have to remember, this was a continental collision there.
I tell you, you are some salesman.
I mean, sort of all just seemed to come together, you know, that way. I sort of says.
But there's that bigger story, because you were telling me off mic that you're working on burns and on other products.
Yeah.
I mean, could be huge.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll get there. You know, we done a study with the US military on burns, and it was...
But again now, you say that as if it just dropped out of the sky. How? Why? Who? Why? How did you just suddenly
how it happened? My mom was 84 years old, right? And she was pouring a kettle of boiling water into a cup of tea and missed. And poured the boiling water on the back of her hand.
Ouch.
Which is really thin skin.
Yeah.
And she let a scream. My sister ran in. I had just dropped down 2 days earlier a bottle of this gel for my mom's arthritis, right? I said, Sinead, try that on mom's arthritis. It'll be really good. And so she went, and Sinead just went, Brian's gel, grabbed the gel and rubbed it on it. 4 days later, I was down and my mom showed me her hand. It was already healing. It hadn't blistered really. And I'm going, what the hell, mom? And she goes, she told me what happened. I took a picture of it. And that resulted in, at the time, the leading burn treatment company in the US flying in 7 days later and meeting with us and saying, we want to do a study with this. And we've done a two-year study.
No, hang on a second. They didn't just fly in. You must have sent it to them.
I found someone. It's great to ring people. And I rang one friend, he rang another friend. And I ended up getting the name of a guy who was actually a consultant in treating burns.
In the States somewhere?
No, he's an Irish guy.
Oh, sorry, big brother.
And he was working as a consultant for this company. Ah. And I rang him up and I met him. And when I met him first, I says, hey, Paddy. And he goes, hey, you been, Brian? And I says, look, he says, what you sent to me is really interesting. He says, I think water gel might be interesting. And I went, okay. And then I spent an hour with him and shared the science with him. And I says, what do you think? He says, I'll tell you what I think. As soon as you leave, I'm ringing our CEO. He's flying home to the UK on Friday. I'm going to have him divert to here. Can we meet you in DCU? I says, absolutely. And that was it. They came in and they says, we want to do this study. So,
were you born lucky?
I don't know. I've had some really unlucky things happen to me, so I'm not sure about that, you know.
So what are you going to do with all of this?
Hopefully, we're trying to build a business. You know, I mean, the supplement side is really going to, we think, drive the short term. Well, the stuff like the burns is longer term investment because it just does take time, and wounds and other things we're working on. And even skincare, like if I meet a skincare company today, it's 18 months before it might be in a product. So the supplements were really for us realizing, you know what, we have this product, we can actually sell it tomorrow, and we are selling it online and in stores now. So this is where we're going to put our resources to drive this. But continuing the science is really it's phenomenal. So we just have to keep going with it. We're probably going to have to move different universities and find different specialists. But you know, there's lots of opportunity. That we need to explore.
And you are being funded, because she told us, by Caroline Bokel's Bordius Guevara. Yeah. You're getting some money there. I presume you could use a truckload more.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, we've invested a pile of money in research, right? We're research driven and in technology, which is patented. But the stuff, you know, there's some things like de minimis is a piece where you can only get a certain amount of that sort of money from BIM every other few years, which people are saying could be reviewed, would be great. But we've had support.
Just on that, what would that mean to you?
It would just mean that you could get more money towards investment in your plant, in upgrading to create better products. You know, like Enterprise Ireland, Science Foundation Ireland, they've been phenomenal, because we've been working with all them as well, and they've supported our science. So in fairness, between all the government bodies, we've been very fortuitous and lucky and work really well with them, you know.
That lucky word again.
Yeah. And they've been great, you know. The research, we'll continue, and investment in upgrading what we're doing. We're constantly looking at how can we make it better.
Well, I know that you take your magnesium to get to sleep, but when you're not asleep, what's the dream? What are you thinking of?
Well, I suppose the big one is definitely, you know, you mentioned Intel. To be the Intel inside lots of other products. That's what we're doing. We've, like, you know, we're like we we went, we done, we were in Arab Health, we there in Dubai, and we were on the Enterprise Ireland stand, and the response, these are doctors, surgeons, like professors at this show. And we've never exhibited to that level of people before. You know, you can feel a little bit intimidated because they know lots more than we know. And
well, they say they do.
Well, anyway. They say they do anyway. But they come up and they just got it. You know, like where before we're trying to explain something, which is the secret to this to people, and they're sort of they're trying to figure it out. These guys just got it, and the response was like, "Wow." This is how this works. Yeah. And we actually had to sit back and go, we can't do this. We're not ready for it. We're not resourced. We're not financed to do that, to take on that, the Middle East. And because it was the whole MENA region was there. So we sort of said, let's do online first. So we'll go online first and then feel the water.
But online is a different world altogether. Are you ready for online?
Yeah, I mean, we're ready for online.
There's fulfillment. Did you ever get fulfillment?
Yeah.
That's the hard part. I know, I understand that.
Well, we found someone over there who'll do that for us. We'd work with, in the US, we've worked with Amazon to do it for us. So we're just trying to get all them ducks in a row, you know, and just get it. I mean, you know, it is sometimes about getting that break. You know, and if you keep plugging long enough and you keep banging your head against that wall,
and
eventually
you mentioned
you'll get it right.
A couple of times that you've got these the patents.
Yeah.
Are you happy that they're going to protect you? I'd hate to see you be having this stuff nicked on you.
Yeah, you know what? There's as much not in the patents as there is in the patents. And the patents are granted, so they're solid. But there's as much not in them. Because sometimes that's the risk you take when you do patents, is that after 18 months, everybody can read them. So we've had to be, you know, there's as much in them as is necessary, but, you know, we're also saying, well, we've had such learning since we filed them patents that they're still valid, but we've actually changed so much since then as well. So you're constantly evolving and hoping that by doing so, you're staying ahead of the posse, you know what I mean?
Does your patent agent advise you of that? Or is that just your news?
We're just continually evolving. But our science, especially, you know, we've 7 years science, so we like to think we're 3, 4, 5 years ahead of anyone else in the science because they have to go through them same pain barriers.
Okay, but big bad evil companies can come in and buy you, or just squish you, or just do.
It's always a risk, isn't it? You know, yeah. I mean, someone said to me, "Are you looking to sell out?" And I go, no, there's too many dreams still to do.
Talk to me about the dreams.
You know, but to be, you know, I mean,
and
yes.
Is it magnesium inside or what are you going to call yourself, an Oriel inside? Or?
Well, we are Oriel. Yeah. Magnesium, is, and this isn't just, what's different about this is, and any other product as well, is it's almost like it's not just magnesium, but all of your trace elements are in there. So everything that's in deep sea, which is the only place where life is created spontaneously, 2,500 of them a year, right, is in this. Because we the only thing we take out is, we take out sort of the sea salt, we take out, which is sodium chloride, we take out calcium, we take out certain things, other things that we want out. But other than that, you've got all of these minerals, which in our studies have shown, that's the key. They're actually, it's not just the magnesium, it's actually the benefit of the other things, these cofactors that all work together. And that's the secret. And that's what's given us the results in burns and in wound and in all these other spaces. So hopefully to be within some great brands, we're going into, like in nutrition, going into some, you know, nutrition, health nutrition, and then supplements being this, I mean, liquid nutrition is novel. It's, you know, there's a few of them out there, but there's none of them at this level yet. So hopefully we can stay ahead.
Wow. Caroline Bukel was right. It's a wow, isn't it? I mean, it's just what you're doing is really
interesting. It feels like a wow to us.
It looks like a wow to me.
Yeah.
So I have to, you did mention, I have to just get one final thing out of you. You can reverse baldy fellas like me. Well, not quite like me. I'm too late for me.
I wouldn't say reverse now, but
you've managed to grow
Well, in the last 2 years, if you were to Google online now, magnesium and hair, right? There's probably about 80, 90 new products on the market in the last 2-3 years, all because of the studies that are coming through. And the bottom line is because magnesium is, your hair is keratin. Keratin is 97% protein. Protein can't be synthesized. You can't make protein without magnesium. they're cofactors in science, right? It's actually one of the claims that EFSA allow you make, right? That you can say it's a you know, because it's a cofactor. So, you know, I am follically challenged.
The pair of us are like two billiard balls in here.
Absolutely, yeah. So I mean, I've done my own little anecdotal stuff on my own head, and I took the pictures, and over time it showed. Wow. But not enough to that you'd actually say, okay, you know. But it showed, because the thing about hair follicles, when they stop growing, it closes, but the follicle remains alive for up to a few years afterwards. So there's that early stage. So we're talking to a couple of companies, and it's because of the form that this is in that it can actually, every other form of magnesium cannot go directly through your skin. It actually has to enter your skin through the hair follicle. Ours does both. So that gives this double hit. So we're hoping that, yeah, we can be, it's a long journey to find someone in hair care and go, right, here it is. Now here's the study. So we're actually doing some really cool studies in the next few months on hair.
You're coming back in here to tell us all about how you're getting on. But the final question I have to ask you is, who would you hire in a heartbeat?
At the moment, someone like, Niall Horan.
Horan. Now, why would you want, there's nothing wrong with Niall Horan, but why Niall Horan? Investor?
Maybe.
He's got a few quid, I'm sure.
He's into fitness, he's into health, he's into things, and he has a particular way about him, but not really as an investor. For me, the thought was, my daughter came home, my daughter's a nurse in Edinburgh, and she came home a few weeks back, and after watching the Lewis Capaldi...
At Glastonbury, was it?
Yeah, well, it was a whole 2 year or 2 hour documentary about his personal life.
Yeah.
And the build-up to Glastonbury and all that. And it just showed the impact of the Tourette syndrome that he has on him. And it was just scary. I hadn't seen it. And Dara saw it, and she came home and she just said to me, Dad, you know, you need to get your magnesium to Lewis Capaldi. And I went, yeah, really? So you're the second person to say that to me, Dara. I says, why? And she says, because Lewis Capaldi has this thing called Tourette syndrome. And it's like, it's all tick muscle related. It's what? Because she has read our science, being a nurse. And I went, oh, okay. I'll have to figure out how to do that. So, I then watched it with her and went, oh my God, I need to figure this out. And it was only then, you know, my son, who's a fan of the both of them, said, Dad, why don't you drive down to Mullingar and try and find where Niall Horan is? I go, Sean, I'm not going down to driving around randomly in Mullingar. So I just said, I'll figure it out. So I just said, yeah, well, maybe, you know, we'll figure out a way to get to him. And because I just thought, get to him to get to Lewis, because you won't get to Lewis. And for someone, maybe a friend, to say, look, why don't you just try that out? It doesn't cost you anything. It's natural. It would probably have more of an impact than me saying it.
Well, would I be really pleased if somebody who knows Niall Horan can make a connection for you? And if he does, please tell us, because we would be doing something useful, because obviously Lewis Capaldi is one brilliant artist, and we'd love obviously to be able to help.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's it.
A story. As I said, just great, incredible. You're some salesman, I tell you that much. Brian Fitzpatrick, he's also CEO and co-founder of Oriel Marine Extracts. And you can find all his products on magnesium.
Magnesiumstore.com.
We'll go there and I'll start rubbing me baldy head.
Absolutely.
Thanks very much, Brian.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Dundale Motors is home to Ireland's largest range of new and premium used cars. That's why you'll find cars from Audi and BMW dealerships on Dundale. Are you looking for a 7-seater to accommodate your growing family? Maybe you're after a luxury saloon to make a statement. We have the car for you. You'll also find Ireland's largest range of electric cars to help you make the switch. Visit dundale.ie today to start the search for your next car.
De Facto, the revolutionary shaving oil, changing the face of shaving. For the smoothest shave of your life, just add water. No more lathering up or cleaning up afterward. Just add a few drops of water and you're ready to go. De Facto's blend of all natural oils hydrates and protects your skin. No more razor burns or irritation. A spa treatment for your face. Perfect for all skin types and lasts so much longer than traditional foams or gels. De Facto, a shaving revolution. Just add water. Available from selected pharmacies and from defactoshave.com.
It's all go, let Chrissy know on thatgreatbusinessshow.com. That Great Business Show.
And that is it from That Great Business Show, episode 152. Great business insights and inspiration, all thanks to our sponsor, dundeal.ie. Have a nosy around there to see what your next car could look like. sign up for email updates, and we will send you your own personal copy of the podcast. That address is thatgreatbusinessshow.com. That's where to go if you would like to advertise with us. We record at the Dublin South Podcast Studios, where Captain Lee Birdseye Brennan is today's sound engineer. Later, studio manager Peter Rice will take another deep dive into the world of audio waves to ensure we remain the world's best-sounding business podcast. And if you'd like to record your own podcast, Peter is the man to chat to. So from me, Conal O'Moran, buíochas to you all, agus slán tamall.